Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
There are an increasing number of companies exiting Russia and cutting ties as the invasion of Ukraine escalates. Bill Browder was the largest foreign investor in Russia until 2005, when he was denied entry to the country and declared a threat to national security for exposing corruption in Russian state-owned companies. He's since been referred to as Putin's number one foreign enemy, and Bill Browder joins me on the line now. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning to you.
As I was saying, you've been campaigning for years to have Western governments clamp down on Russian corruption and on state-sponsored money and murder. And many of the measures you've been calling for have been implemented now in record time. What have the last few weeks been like for you as this has unfolded?
Well, I was kind of surprised that Putin would have gone to the dark side as far as he went. I mean, he's always been sort of keeping one foot in the civilized world and one foot in the criminalized world. And I've seen his foot in the criminal world based on the murder of my lawyer and all the cover-ups and all the frauds that he's committed. And I've always been very frustrated with how he has conned and hoodwinked many Western politicians into sort of speaking to him as if he's a normal head of state. And I thought he would kind of liked to that sort of confusing persona, but the fact that he just jumped with both feet full force into the criminal world surprises me, and I think it surprised the world. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing the reaction, which is, you know, countries that were full time appeasers of Vladimir Putin, like Germany and even Hungary, are now sort of supporting sanctions. Germany is ready to like change their energy policy and supplying weapons. All these things would have been unheard of a month ago, so I'm surprised.
Yeah, but I just wonder, are you frustrated along with the surprise? Because despite you imploring the West to take action against Putin for years, it's only now that governments are listening.
Well, I've been extremely frustrated because I think if we had taken more action before in response to his other atrocities, he might not have done this now. I think he was banking on the fact that the West wouldn't do what's been done. I think he was thinking that, you know, nothing happened after Georgia. Nothing happened after taking Crimea. Nothing happened after shooting down MH17. Nothing happened. I mean, nothing has ever happened to him in serious form. And so he thought the same thing would happen with Ukraine. And had we done something at any point with these other atrocities, or even leading up to Ukraine, he might not have done, I'm sure he would have done something, but he might not have done this full-scale humanitarian disaster that he's orchestrating right now.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the sanctions that have been put in place go far enough? Will they radically impact him and the Russian economy?
Well, they are starting to, but I think that we need to do a lot more. I mean, we're in a situation where basically we're not ready to put boots on the ground in Ukraine. And if he succeeds in Ukraine, he's going to end up then on the border of Estonia or Lithuania or Poland, in which case then we have a direct war with Putin. And so we have an interest, not just from a moral perspective, but from a defensive perspective, to tie him down and stop him where he is. And in order to do that, we need to do an effective total economic blockade of Russia. And that means at the moment we're only sanctioning we've only disconnected 70% of Russian banks from SWIFT. We need to do 100%. We're only sanctioning a dozen oligarchs. We need to sanction 100 oligarchs. At the moment, many companies have pulled out of Russia. Every company, every Western company needs to have pulled out of Russia. And probably most importantly, and this is a big one, we need to stop buying Russian oil. If we did that, he would have no more money. And this military invasion is costing him billions of dollars a week. And that would eventually deplete his resources.
Mm-hmm. But we're asking the 10-year-old child who's fleeing the bombing today to wait for those measures not only to be actioned, but also to take effect.
And that 10-year-old child is totally justified in crying and thinking, why is this happening to me and why aren't people doing more? I mean, frankly, I think that we can't just be sitting back with our economic policy. We need to be doing something more, like along the lines of assisting the Ukrainians and creating some type of no-fly zone, whether it's them or us, or some combination, because
despite the risks that come with that, and we all know what those risks are, right?
Well, I think the risks are already there. I mean, Putin, he's saying, if you do that, we're going to start a nuclear war with you. Well, he's going to start a nuclear war with us anyways, unless we stop him from doing this. And so we need to sort of stand firm. Otherwise, we're just going to surrender Eastern Europe and go back to where we were in 1945.
You know, when you say we should just stop buying Russian oil and gas, is that feasible in the short term?
I think stopping the purchase of Russian oil is. Gas is not. There are countries that are 100% dependent on Russian gas. They come through a gas pipeline. There's no other way of transporting gas. But with oil, it is possible. And oil is being discussed right now. And that, again, would put a huge dent on his economics of his war machine. And we just have to think of it as a war machine. The Russian economy is a war machine right now. And anything we do, any trade that we do with Russia is basically killing Ukrainians and may eventually kill us.
I want to talk to you about Ireland, because you previously said that we in this country were a soft touch for international money launderers. Are we doing enough now?
We're not doing enough now, but I know that in a few moments there's a person coming on your show who's going to hopefully help you do more. So I'm hoping that Ireland adopts the Magnitsky Act, which would allow Ireland to impose asset freezes and visa bans on corrupt and Russian officials and other officials, for that matter, and people involved in human rights abuse.
Tell us a little bit about the Magnitsky Act.
Magnitsky Act is named after my lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky. He was murdered after uncovering a massive Russian government corruption scheme. The Russian government, up to and including Putin, covered up his murder. And so I went to the West and said, we should freeze the assets and ban the visas of these people and people who do similar types of things in Russia and elsewhere. That became known as the Magnitsky Act. It was passed in the United States in 2012. It became global in 2016, applying to all countries. It was then passed by Canada, the United Kingdom, the European Union generally, Australia very recently, and now we're working on individual countries within the European Union so that you're not dependent on countries like Hungary vetoing the sanctions that we want to put in place. And I think Ireland would be a great leader in this area, and I hope that it comes to be in the Irish Parliament soon.
And we're going to speak to Brendan Howland, the Labour Party TD, in just a moment on progress here. But this has had a profound impact, hasn't it, this campaigning on your own life over the years?
Well, it's had a profound impact on the bad guys and that they're all scurrying, and that this is the basis for which all of these assets are being frozen now across the world of the oligarchs. It's also had a profound impact on my life because Vladimir Putin knew very early back in 2012 how devastating this would be for him when he finally did the terrible thing that he did, and he understood that his money would end up getting frozen. And so he's chased me around the world with death threats, kidnapping threats. There's been 8 Interpol red notices issued against me. The Russian government has been applying regularly to the British government for my extradition. I've been arrested while traveling. I've been sued all over the world by Russian government proxies. It's a full-time job defending myself and protecting myself, but it definitely has made a difference.
Mm-hmm. How much money does he have?
Well, in 2017, I testified to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee that his net worth was $200 billion. That was 5 years ago. I believe he's a lot wealthier than that now. I haven't done a current calculation, but well north of $200 billion.
What does he say officially? That he's on a salary of $140,000. He's got a couple of old cars.
Yeah, you can just look at the photos of him and look at the watches, the different watches he wears in the photos, and that's worth many multiples of his stated net worth.
Yeah, just on cracking down on oligarchs and their money. I mean, there's a lot of controversy at the moment, particularly in the UK, where it's said that, you know, the Russian oligarchs will move their money really quickly if you give them enough time. I mean, how quickly do you think it could be done, more quickly, this crackdown on the assets and on the cash?
It has to be. If it's not, they're all going to move their money into safe jurisdictions. And we've seen it already happen with the yachts. Some of them couldn't move their yachts because they were in the shipyard. But the ones who could, their yachts, there's a yacht parked in Saudi Arabia. There's one parked in Kaliningrad. There's yachts parked in the Maldives. They've taken their yachts out of the reach of these sanctions, and any asset that they could, they will. And so we need to go quick and sanction the oligarchs quickly. I mean, they all know that we're coming for them. We need to sanction it quickly before these people move it all away to some other place where it's not going to be seized.
Mm-hmm. I saw your tweet over the weekend where you said some of the people who you would previously have worked with in the hedge fund industry were talking about whether it was worthwhile buying Russian equities and bonds. What did you say to them?
I said this, it would be the equivalent of buying German equities during the Holocaust. I mean, it's just a shameful, and I mean, you know, there's a moment when no matter how cynical these people are, that they should step and look at themselves and say, no, I mean, this is just not right.
Mm-hmm. But that's the nature of that business, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we see a lot of companies right now. BP is exiting from Russia. It's going to cost them huge. Many, many companies are exiting from Russia who don't want to be doing it. I think everybody has to suck up their gut and take a little economic pain and certainly not profit from it.
Mm-hmm. These oligarchs, people wonder now, will they be the people who will bring Putin down? What do you think?
I think I heard your last guest talking about that, but I think it's unrealistic because Putin is, he is constantly looking for betrayal. He's constantly looking for disloyalty. And there's no way that these people can do it by themselves. They would have to do it together. And the moment they start talking about it, somebody will turn them in and he'll kill them. And they understand that. And they're just so scared of him right now.
Yeah, I'm just wondering as you're talking, I wonder how he feels about Visa, MasterCard, American Express, even Netflix removing their services from Russia.
Well, I think it's just a total shock. It's just a total shock. He always thought that everybody was so greedy that their financial interests would overcome their moral interests or their national security interests or whatever. And it's not happening anymore. Everybody is abandoning ship en masse. You've had two of the big four accounting firms who've left. You have Linklaters, a big British law firm that's left. You've got all these entertainment companies that are leaving. At this point, it's just, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to live in Russia. For these, particularly for the oligarchs, but even for the middle class people, mm-hmm. who are used to consuming Western goods and watching Western television and having a sort of, you know, regular life, to all of a sudden be in living in North Korea, the equivalent of North Korea.
Very different existence. Bill, stay on the line if you can. We've been hearing about the Magnitsky Law, and this week former Labour Party leader Brendan Howland TD has sought to introduce new legislation for Ireland's own Magnitsky Law in the Dáil, which would give the government the power to lift the lid on money shelters that allow oligarchs to funnel billions through shell companies through the IFSC. Now, the plans are to fast-track the new law, but they have been scuppered by parliamentary red tape. Deputy Howland is on the line now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire, and good morning to Bill.
So what's happening with this bill? What will it seek to do and why is it being delayed?
Okay. I was hugely impressed by Bill and his campaign over the years, and I introduced this bill actually in 2020, the Proceeds of Crime, Gross Human Rights Abuses Bill. And I was looking at how we could have our own bespoke Magnitsky Act, and the most effective anti-crime legislation we had was the Proceeds of Crime legislation that was enacted after the murder of Veronica Guerin in 1996, where we created the Criminal Assets Bureau, and they could actually seize the assets of the drug barons at that time, the wrongdoers. So the model that I developed then was to expand the Proceeds of Crime bill to the area of human rights abusers, and to define conduct that would be encompassed as a crime as anybody involved in human rights abuses, in sponsoring such activity, in profiting from such activity, giving any material assistance from such activity, including financial assistance or technological assistance to it. Now, it is not a bespoke bill for the awfulness that's happening in the Ukraine right now. But I think it would be an extremely important addition.
Okay,
it would mean that anybody involved, yes, in any shape or form with human rights abuses
would be
committing
sanctions.
An offence,
yeah.
And we could capture and seize their assets in Ireland.
And what's happening with it?
Well, I spoke to the Ciarán Cóirle last week, and he was very enthusiastic about it. The Business Committee of the Dáil want it brought forward. It was passed at second stage last December. So it just needs to be processed through committee and final stages. It's a short bill. It's only 2 pages long. It can be done, and we've offered our private members business time on Wednesday of this week to do it. All parties in the business committee, that's every party in the Dáil, has agreed to do it. And now I'm told there's a difficulty in relation to getting a waiver from the Justice Committee for pre-legislative scrutiny. And I've spoken to the chair of the Justice Committee this morning. I've spoken to him on Friday. I've spoken to him on Thursday. And there is a difficulty in just getting agreement that this should be done. And I think that pushback is coming from officials in the Department of Justice. They want to take the normal route, if you like, through a crisis. And this crisis demands extraordinary action.
So just to clarify, sorry, Brendan, there isn't political resistance to this then, you're saying?
I'm absolutely certain there is cross-party support for this. There was at the Business Committee of the Dáil. There was at the second stage debate on this bill in last December. And I think the urgency of what's happening, everybody's heart is broken. And we need to be practical about our responses. You know, rallies and are very important. Solidarity is very important. But we need to be seen to be doing practical things. I'm not suggesting for a minute that this is the end of what we need to do. We need to go infinitely further in doing the things that Bill has outlined, including ensuring that Russia is excluded from SWIFT. Dealing with oil, we have to deal with these very hard things. And they'll be hard for us too, but immeasurably easier on the people of Ireland than the tragedies we're seeing unfolding hourly in the Ukraine.
Okay, and Bill, who's been listening to all of that, is still on the line. Bill, I assume you would call on the political establishment here to have this enacted as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's absolutely essential to do this. And it's, as Brendan said, it's the least we can do. We have, there is such a tragedy unfolding in front of our eyes. And we have to just clear out all the barriers, get rid of all the bureaucracy and do the right thing. And this is something that's practical, can be done, and it will have a real effect, and it should be done right away. And anybody who's out there involved in this, who's blocking it, stop it right now. Let's get this moving.
Bill, thank you very much for joining us. And Brendan Howland, Labour Party TD, thank you too. We'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.